Welcome to the What Now podcast. In this episode, Allison talks to Wendy, whose parents ran one of the Pussycat Theaters, a notorious adult movie theater in Los Angeles. And now, Allison Davis.
Allison Davis, and welcome to the What Now podcast. I am sitting here with an intriguing guest. She is a lovely woman who grew up in Los Angeles during the 1960s, and her parents, how shall I put this? Her parents were in the sex industry. Her parents were owners of the chain of Pussycat Theaters, which were adult movie theaters that were very popular in the 1970s. And with that introduction, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you. I have to clarify.
Yeah, please do.
They just owned one of the Pussycat Theaters. Okay. My father was not a full partner. His partner owned the chain, and then my father had already owned the Sunset Theater, and it just kind of converted over.
Gotcha.
Into being a Pussycat Theater.
Gotcha. So how are you feeling today?
Good.
Good, good. Thank you for being here. This is a real treat.
Well, I'm flattered. As I told you, it's a, you know, I hope I can, you know, be interesting and intriguing.
You will. Yeah, most certainly. And I think that you have a lot to say that will be unexpected. And that is always most welcome here at the What Now podcast. Mm-hmm. So what was it like growing up in Southern California in the 1960s? What was the political climate like then? And I keep thinking of Woodstock on the East Coast. Was it similar?
Well, you know, for me, I didn't even really get too political until after I graduated high school, which was at the end of the 60s, same year as Woodstock, 1969. While I was in high school, I mean, I was politically aware, but you know, I wasn't super involved as far as the political climate. I mean, it was, you know, the hippies and idealism and the pill and marijuana and hair. That was big, you know.
Oh, yes.
Go and see Hair a few times.
The dawning of the angel Aquarius.
So I think that was, I mean, that was as political as I got, just an awareness and the freedoms and the, you know, all the music festivals and all that kind of thing. But I loved it, and you know, my biggest fear is that I'm going to become, you know, one of those pathetic people that clings to the past. But hopefully not. But I mean, it formed my aesthetic. I'm sure it had a great deal of influence on my view of the world. And then, in addition, since you know the family business was a little off center, mm-hmm. You know, that added to it too.
You know, I think I apologize. I failed to introduce you by name. Your name is Wendy.
Yes.
This is Wendy we're speaking with. So how did your parents get into the business of running the Pussycat Theater?
Well, from the time I was a baby, my father owned the Sunset Theater. It was on Sunset and Western in Hollywood, and we lived around the corner. And it played foreign films to start with. Films with subtitles. And, you know, Ingmar Bergman films, Jean Cocteau. I grew up after school every day going over to the theater and watching Beauty and the Beast.
That's a rich experience.
It was wonderful. And Aida and all these wonderful films. Then I think I was around age 12 or 13, and business really was not doing well at all, and my father, I mean, it got pretty scary. He thought he was going to lose the theater, and around the same time, this gentleman, Vincent Miranda, came to him and asked if he would consider becoming part of this chain of Pussycat Theaters.
Now, what exactly was the Pussycat Theater? What kind of theater, what kind of movies did they show?
Well, at the you know, what we'd call soft porn now, but they were adult films. They were porn films,
okay.
They couldn't show much of anything. We made jokes about women taking
no penetration shots.
Not even below the waist.
Interesting.
I mean, it was basically,
and there was lots of hair back then on people's bodies.
Yes.
Unlike now.
That's right. That's totally right. Yeah, and pimples.
Yes. Oh,
not,
God, they would be
to,
devastated if the HD was around. Then we'd be in real trouble. We would have been in real
and
trouble.
There were no. I mean. You know, it's like no plots, no, you know, they were like almost like bad home movies. The quality was bad.
Grainy.
Yes. And that wonderful, you know, music.
Oh, yes, and the porn stashes.
You know, yes, yes. Yeah, the Ron Jeremy look, although yes. He came a little later. But, they were really simple
John Holmes.
Little films. And, yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw him in a film. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, carry on. This is most interesting. I guess the next question, not to digress too far from what we were talking about, but did you know what your parents were involved with when you were a child, and were they open with you about what they did for a living?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, I was a little older, as I said. I was 12 or 13, and I remember when it occurred, and, again, I think my dad, he just wanted to hold on to the theater, and I don't know this for a fact, but I always suspected that maybe he thought it was a temporary thing, that he would go into this, but I think he was a little reluctant, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it bothered him a little bit. But, yeah, completely, completely open. And, in fact, it made me, we joked about how it made me popular in junior high, because all the little young boys were like, oh, ooh, give me tickets to your dad's theater and all that stuff. I mean, it was all treated with a lot of humor. There was never any embarrassment.
Excellent.
About it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So what were your parents like as people?
My parents were the best.
They sound like free thinkers.
Middle class Jewish, you know, sort of middle-aged, but just open, and especially my dad, and I think he influenced my mother a lot to her benefit. I mean, they were wonderful. And, I mean, I have wonderful memories of their whole approach to, you know, sexuality, where I learned about it, to nudity. It was very open. I mean, I saw both my parents naked, you know, and it was just treated like healthy and normal, and you know. And again, this whole thing about the adult films, I mean, they weren't into them themselves. You know, my mom was a little disdainful, but just, I don't know, they just took it at face value, and nothing to be ashamed of. My dad was very, you know, they were, well, politically, my dad could be a little conservative, but socially, not at all. I mean, friends of every kind. We were encouraged to have friends of, you know, from
other
all walks of life, and, you know, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Everything. And so they were very open-minded and
great. So your classmates and friends at school knew about your parents' profession.
Yeah, I mean, not all of them, but like, kids did. Nobody,
and they were cool. Yeah,
I think so. I never had any, you know,
no incidents.
They couldn't be my
no
friend,
teasing.
Or, and the teasing was just like, as I said,
nudge, wink,
wink. Yeah, can I get
so it wasn't tickets? It wasn't malicious.
No,
you weren't
nothing
bullied.
Bad, nothing, not at all. No,
you weren't. You never felt like you were on the verge of gonna possibly get expelled or anything like that.
No, not
good.
At all.
And you said you were 14 or 15 when you learned?
I think if I was in junior high, I was either 12 or 13 when it started, when they converted the theater. I want to say 14
mm-hmm.
when I saw my first porno film, and it was after hours because it wasn't, you know, legal, but in those days, my dad had to edit them. He had to watch them and cut out anything that
manually.
Wasn't,
that he had
might
to
be.
Cut and splice.
Well, he didn't do it, but he would. They'd screen them for him, and then he would say, "You know, that has to be cut. That has to be cut. We can't show that. We can't show that." And there wasn't a lot. I mean, they didn't make them that bad. You know, they didn't show much even when they filmed them. And as I said, we lived around the corner, and I remember, you know, going down there, and you know, it was all this like, "Oh, should Wendy see?" I was like, "Oh, I want to see," and you're sitting there watching them, and the main thing was that they were just so bloody awful. I mean, we just laugh hysterically. It's like, oh God, I didn't find them at all sexual.
Yeah.
They didn't leave any traumatic, you know, effects on me.
That's what I was just going to ask
yeah,
you.
Yeah. We just, you know, there I am with my parents watching, and it's a bunch of women walking around topless. It was the worst acting you could imagine, you know.
It was non-acting.
Yeah. And then we talked about it after. I mean, it was just, you know, it was treated as comical for the most part.
Yeah.
And it might have been too, because they weren't as bad then. I mean, there was no, you didn't see anything serious. So
yeah. No, you didn't see the money shot. They didn't show money
shots. No.
Right. So, oh my gosh. So Did you have a particular impression of the quote-unquote sort of person that frequented your family's establishment?
Well, this was very interesting because later I worked there as a candy girl and then a cashier. I should say candy girl, concession stand. I don't know if that has any other meaning. But my sister worked there, two female cousins who worked there, summer jobs. It was a real family. My mom was the cashier, basically, most of the time. And so I saw the people that came in, and I remember it was very interesting because you'd get, you know, the single men. I don't remember ever seeing anybody in a trench coat.
I was going to ask you that.
I don't remember.
Well, this
that.
Is California. I mean, you know, this isn't the East Coast.
Yeah, they'd be too warm.
Yes.
But, you know, the single men. But we'd get in, my favorite, you'd get in, like, a group of, say, Asian tourists, you know, all coming in. One of my favorite memories was this young couple. It was obvious it was their first time, and they, you know, they stocked up on popcorn and drinks, and they, you know, the giggling girl, and she's with her boyfriend, mm-hmm. I guess, and they walked in.
Couples foreplay.
Yes. Well, they walked in, they opened the door, they stood there, so they looked in. 5 minutes they were out, like, can't take this. They were not ready, and they walked out, and it was so cute.
All
it was just
flesh.
So adorable. Yeah, yeah, it was too much for them. But we had regular customers, a lot of sort of older men who were maybe past the point of, you know, mm-hmm. physical prowess, and mm-hmm. They came in, you know, weekly or whenever
regularly.
The film changed. They were mm-hmm. regulars, and they'd come in, and my mom was friendly with them.
Got to know
them
personally.
Them and it was a variety. You saw couples, you saw normal people, average people, not...
Everyday people.
Everyday, thank you. That's a good way. Everyday people, you know, not a lot of... My dad wanted to run, you know, a clean
establishment.
Clean establishment. They raised the prices.
Okay.
They were very... I don't know. They tried to create an atmosphere where it was, like, not sleazy. They kept the place very clean. You know, and you'd get the police coming around, too. My dad always let them in for free. You know, keep relations good, and so they pop in now and then and to check and stuff. And he would sometimes go down and check. I think make sure nothing weird was going on within the auditorium, but they tried to keep it nice. You know, mm-hmm. like little upscale-ish.
Sure. And this is maybe a bit of a redundant question. I think you've already answered this previously, but. Did your parents' involvement with the Pussycat Theater have any effect on your personal views of human sexuality one way or another and interpersonal relationships when you got older?
Not that I'm conscious of. I don't mm-hmm. think so. Nothing, no, definitely nothing traumatic or negative. If anything, one thing about my parents also that they were very, in a healthy, totally healthy, loving way, they were sexual. They weren't like some parents where you can't imagine them doing it. Like, mm-hmm. I always thought it was weird and kind of sad that some kids...
Most kids.
Yeah. They couldn't picture their parents doing it. They didn't want to think about it, you know. I mean, I didn't picture graphically, but my parents were very... They were loving. They were physically affectionate in an appropriate way always, you know. But they flirted in front of us. They let it be known that they were sexual creatures.
That's nice.
And it was wonderful. So it gave me such a healthy view of it.
Yeah.
And again, nothing ever inappropriate. Just like, oh, sex is good.
It's a part of life.
Yes, and my mom was of her generation. It's like, don't have sex until you're married, you know. And of course, that went out the window in the '60s. But I mean, you know, she was. It's best with marriage and be in love with the person and all that. I mean, and if anything, my sister and I helped her to change her views, you know, by being who we were and all that. But she and my dad, sex is beautiful, and you know, and it's an act of love and all this stuff. And so, and the sex that was shown in the movies, I mean, it was just kind of Well, some people like that, you know, and it was comical or whatever. I mean, I always thought it was a real novelty. I love telling people that we own the theater. It kind of made me stand out.
Yeah, and, certainly.
You know,
and you were contributing to society and what some might feel was a positive way.
Yeah, I did face some things, and my sister too, because my sister even more than me, you know, feminism, we got into that in the mm-hmm. '70s.
Hey, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that was my only conflict to a certain degree at some point, like, oh God, you know, exploiting women.
Did
all
people
this stuff.
Say that somehow your family was contributing to the exploitation?
Some people,
of women.
I think, thought. I mean, I don't remember any huge debates about mm-hmm. it, but yeah, I mean, I was
it
aware
came
of
up.
That. Yeah, I was aware of that, and that was my only problem with it. Is that does this exploit women? And
did you have a defense line when that got?
Well, somebody said to me, you know, we're actually helping because you know, like. Let's see, I can't remember it exactly, but it was kind of weak, probably. But And if I really think about it, knowing what went on as part of it, I mean, you see these exposés and women who were kind of forced to do and all that stuff. I don't know that much about the actual making. Yeah, Linda Lovelace and the making of these things. I'm sure there were awful situations. Certainly, I mentioned that to you all before we went on, that of going to this luncheon or whatever where I saw these women. It was like a luncheon to honor these women or give out these awards or whatever, and I got to go. And I mean, the women were treated like movie stars and very respectfully. Yes. And it really hit me like, oh, no wonder how great for them. I mean, they must love this. And, you know, I probably still have mixed emotions about it. But and taking from what I know today about, you know, porn stars and stuff like that, and when they talk about it, I mean, people seem to, they're in it because they want to be. I can only assume, I mean, we weren't in part of the making of the films. We just showed them, and so I don't really know all that
behind
went
the
on.
Scenes.
And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure
there's always stuff that's negative that goes on in any profession.
But, you know, it's like, what I saw was just this sort of business. I mean, the colleagues that Dad worked with who did the publicity or who did the distribution of the films and all that, I mean, they were just these businessmen, all middle-class type people, married with families. You know, I don't know about their private lives, but nobody seemed to be sleazy
kicked
in any
out
way,
or weird.
You know, and certainly my
curvy,
my
none
parents
of that.
Were, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just business. And
right. Well, that's, you know, you beat me to it, because I was going to segue to the next question, which is, well, the San Fernando Valley, as you know, is known as the porn capital of America. So growing up in your unique family in the region, what are your current views about pornography, and have you always felt the same way about it, or have your views changed over the years?
Well, porn has changed over the years.
It certainly has.
Again, it almost, looking back at it now, it may sound funny, but it almost seems innocent.
It certainly does.
Yeah, because of all the restrictions and the censorship and all that, and you know, just the whole way it went, there was a certain innocence compared to today. I mean, it was now. I mean, you look at even commercial films and how much they've changed. And you look at the porn, I mean, in order to keep up or whatever and compete, they had to get more and more graphic.
It goes deeper and deeper.
Yeah. And no pun intended.
No pun intended.
And, you know, I remember watching them. Like, I would go with friends sometimes when I was in college. And once I was legal age and could go and actually, you know, watch them, I would go with a bunch of friends, usually just to laugh because they were so badly made. And I mean, we'd have, you know, but mostly we just talked about how unappealing they were to us. I mean, and the graphic, it was just like, oh my God, you know, or how'd they get that shot? Or it's just like, they made it so, I mean, there was nothing appealing, nothing sensual about it. It was just, you know, and so I don't really like them, you know, and again, I do, as I became more political, more aware, I don't know if I'd say more feminist, but I mean, I do have issues with the exploitation of women, but that's such a broad scale. I mean, that that just opens up a whole thing.
You could do a whole other podcast.
Yeah, right.
On that.
Exactly.
Or two or three or ten.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many areas. It's like, so yeah, I do have some issues with it. You know, for me personally, and what I grew up with and experienced at the time, as I say, it was just funny. It was just like, it became so normal to me, and it wasn't part of our home life. You know, Dad would go to work, and Mom would go to work, and they'd come home from work, but it was just kind of a funny, unusual novelty.
Did you? I mean, I wasn't even planning on asking this, but it occurred to me now. Did you ever have any? What's the word I'm looking for? Did you ever consider
a desire to go into? Never.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I mean,
to be in the films yourself,
to be in the
films, or had anyone ask you to be in?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's not your thing.
Yeah. No.
It's not
my
fantasy.
I know. I mean, as I say, I found them just kind of my. I will tell you this.
Yes.
I almost forgot about this. When I was older and I worked for an advertising agency, and I was like a junior copywriter, and there was a copywriter, this woman who became a good friend of mine, and we actually wrote a porn script from the woman's point of view. We were going to, you know, try, and somewhere I have it, I don't know, somewhere buried, but if I ever
please.
Find it. And we
called
it Script Tease, we just... And the thing is that one of the memories I have, because we thought, hey, you know, like, make some... I mean, I guess I wasn't too politically aware then, but it was just kind of, you know, yeah, let's do it from the... That was our political statement, do it from the woman's point of view. I just remember giggling and saying, okay, let's have, okay, we can have them do it. Then we just trying to come up with situations where people could be doing it. And I mean, all we did was just
laugh,
sit on her
and
floor
laugh,
and laugh our heads off.
Yeah, I think there's, I have never seen these films, but there is, I think, a woman, Candida Royale, I think is her name.
Yeah,
I'm not positive,
like, yeah,
but she has a series of sex-positive erotic films out there for women.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see those, to see if they were more, if I found them,
if you resonated,
yeah,
if they resonated with
you.
You,
that's a good word.
Yeah,
if they turned me on. No.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
tell it like it is.
I know, because really, I'd be interested to see if that would make a difference, because these other ones,
they leave you cold.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, they're just, well, they were just so badly written and acted. I mean, because there was, that wasn't the point.
That wasn't
it was
the
just
point.
Get people in there and get them, you know, screwing around.
Right.
And, you know, the men were unappealing, and the, as you mentioned before, I kind of, hirsute, is that the
hirsute?
You know?
Yeah.
I, you know, so that, they didn't do it for me except to laugh at. But who knows, maybe more sophisticated, certainly commercial films.
Well, they say that women tend to respond to plot-driven films more. I'm not even sure I would do that.
Yes,
but
yes, and certain actors.
It takes a lot to get me going.
Yes.
Oh, God.
But you know, but again, I don't, it didn't, that I'm aware of, do one way or the other, put me off, turn me on, you know, make me any more different than the person I would have been, except for the fact that it was, that my parents, an open, healthy attitude. I mean, I love sex, and, you know, and growing up in the 60s, of course,
that was a wonderful time to be female.
We did not stick to my mother's, you know, wait till you're married.
It was right between the pill,
you know,
and AIDS.
There yeah,
was a
right.
Furry,
it was
that was perfect.
It was perfect. You know, you could get
perfect.
A shot if you got something.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Wrong. Yeah. You just get a shot, and I mean,
and go back out into the fold.
Yeah, and it was, that was great. But but I mean, I think that I would have had that attitude anyway. You know,
yeah.
I mean, most of my peers did, and because it was the times, and it was just a little extra something that you know, we had this theater. But I love telling people about it. I took a film class at UCSB, and you know, we had to choose a project, and I chose
University,
you know,
at Santa Barbara.
Yeah, oh, sorry,
that's okay.
And I chose adult films because I thought I got all the materials.
There
right
you
there.
Go.
You know, it's like, you know, it would be easy.
You'd
to
be
do.
The best. Their best. This class's best resource.
Yes, yes. And I did, you know, and I wrote a paper on it, and I did interviews with, you know, colleagues of my dad's, and I had illustration, you know, whatever, you know, photos and all stuff. And so that was kind of nice because it was handy, but I never tried to hide it. I never tried to, you know, I never turned around and went, oh, you know, my scandalous past. I just think it's a hoot. I mean, I...
That's good for you.
You know.
Yeah, it would be nice if there was more open-mindedness in the world.
Oh, definitely.
You know, Wendy, we've come to the end of the interview already, believe it or not. And so my final question to you is there anything else you'd like to add? This has been fantastic. I am so grateful that you've agreed to come do this. It's been a very colorful afternoon.
Well, I hope it didn't disappoint anyone who's looking for some real sleazy,
no,
you know,
see,
dirt.
That's the thing about this. It's not. Anybody who has had anything, has had, you know, has had close contact with the industry, no pun intended, we'll see just kind of how regular it is.
That's how I always saw it. And as I say, it's not that I'm unaware or naive. I mean, I know that there's another side to it. You know, a darker side. And
you can see
that
with any industry,
but
though.
Quite honestly, yeah. And for me, I mean, speaking from experience and, you know, having worked at the theater and having all these funny, fun memories.
Anecdotal
and such, yeah, lots of anecdotes. I mean, I could talk for another hour. And I also told you, too, that I like doing things that I feel honor my parents.
Yeah.
And rather than being, you know, embarrassed about it, or, you know, I'm sure they went through their little things, too, a little bit of, you know, especially my mom, maybe, you know, she never watched, did not like to look, kind of, I think, tried to distance herself, except that she worked in the box office. Oh, one last thing, if I can just throw this
Most
in.
Most certainly.
You haven't lived until you've seen your mother, because she answered the phone. And the titles of the movies, obviously, you know, were hilarious. I mean, and to hear my mother, you know, say, well, The Big Snatch, Peanut Butter Love, you know, I mean, all these were, you know, very matter-of-fact. And, of course, she'd get obscene phone calls, and I actually heard her say, and my mom did not swear. I mean, well, she said shit. She liked to say that word.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, my dad swore, but my mom, especially in front of us, but she once, you know, got one of these calls, and before that, she's like, go fuck yourself, and she hung up. And I thought, that memory to me is worth, you know, everything.
Yes.
So, you know, so that those are my wonderful memories of them and my parents and how lovely they were and just that this was, I think it's great that they did. I don't know.
Well, this is an incredible story, an incredible afternoon. Thank you so much, Wendy, for, again, agreeing to engage in this interview. You've made my day.
Oh.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Allison.